power to there, and then we're going transformer to transformer, and those ones, they disconnect the line, and they can pull.
I think we're gonna be doing a lot of paper.
That's why we're redoing, so they're not gonna pull, have to upgrade the power to those, but the other boxes.
So that, the transformer box in the RV park, or not the RV park, park field, is big enough to take the 50?
Yep, I was lucky enough to, it'll actually be a three-phase coming out of it, but that was one that got upgraded when that guy drove through the kite field and ran over it.
Couple of years ago.
Uh-huh.
Four years ago.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
Okay, Richard, you can start the meeting whenever you would like, Joe is on his way.
Four years ago, that long ago. Yeah, it was in the rain, rainy season, wasn't it?
Okay, we'll call this meeting to order, this is a special meeting of the Port of Brookings Harbor Commission on Friday, May 6th, 2022. Roll call, Danielle, please.
Larry?
Here.
Ken?
Here.
Sharon?
Here.
Richard?
Here.
And Joe is absent right now.
Okay, are there any modifications, additions, or changes to the agenda?
No.
No. Okay. Anybody want to declare a potential conflict about it?
No.
No. All right, then entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
Motion to approve the agenda.
As is.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion second to approve the agenda, further discussion, hearing none, Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
No public comments, anybody on the phone that you know of that has a comment?
No.
Okay. That brings us to action item, RV park change order and payment request.
All right, back in February, we had a pre-construction meeting with the contractor, the Clendon Excavation. We had Crow Clay Associates there, and Coos Curry Electric was there. That was the first time we heard that they had material issues, that they couldn't get the material at the time that they wanted to get the project completed in April. That was the first time we also heard that Coos Curry Electric changed or wanted to change the power supply and wanted to upgrade the power coming from the kite field over to the RV park. And we asked for a written explanation of that change. The only thing they ever gave us was a verbal reason why that their upper management thought it would be a good idea to even out the power supply, go into the RV park, and also provide a better service for future upgrades in the RV park. So on that change, they request that the port put the conduit in and the trench. They supply the wiring. They upgrade the transformers. Our cost is putting in the trench. We're putting in the conduit and the trenching going across the road. So that's part of one of the change orders. The other thing that we've asked McLennan was a change on the completed work. So instead of having it completed in April because of material supplies, they're looking at towards the end of this year. Our contract does have liquidated damages if they don't do the work in time. So the change order will not put liquidated damages on their contract. But if they don't complete it in December, like they've asked, if the board approves the December work, if they don't complete it then liquidated damage would apply, unless there's other reasons why they can't get it done. So I have three motions on the table here. One is the time extension. So the new completion date will be December 7th, 2022, and not applying the liquidated damages from April to December. The second motion would be the change order to install the conduit and trenching across from the kite field to the RV park. And then the third one is a payment request. They are purchasing the materials now so that they can have it on time or have it available when they do the construction later on. And so far, the materials they've gotten, which we got pictures in the packet to verify that they got it here, is $83,000 worth of materials. They have ordered all the wiring and the pedestals. They just haven't received those yet. So once they receive them, we'll probably get a second request, payment request, once they receive that.
So this is, we have a loan out for this, right?
Yeah, well, the...
That we're paying on right now.
Yeah, exactly.
And so has the RV park been successful enough to pay the loan?
Yes.
Okay, so we're not losing any money on the loan, even though we're not getting anything done for it.
Right. Well, we did get our restroom back in place. We did spend some money out of that loan to get our restroom back up and running. But yeah, the rest of the work we haven't got completed yet.
Is it normal that we pay in advance? Is that historically what we do?
Yeah, typically if a contractor, especially this circumstances with supply chain issues, that we want to get the materials on hand, and it's typically you purchase that stuff as long as we know that it's here. Mm-hmm. And it's typical.
So how are we doing on that as far as the budget way staying within what we are we going to go way over?
No. Right now we're staying on budget. The 30,000 change order will take us over what we anticipated, mm-hmm. but we can compensate for that.
Right. And the money we saved versus the bathroom, the new one versus the remodel
yep.
helped.
Okay.
Yeah, the question on Crow and Clay, have they gotten back to you how much more they're going to charge, or are they going to charge more?
Their contract for construction administration is that kind of open-ended. So whatever we have them doing for engineering and stuff, it's going to be added to their contract. And we've been paying that out of our general fund, not the loan money for professional services. I kind of like to have them as a third party overseeing our contractor instead of us being overseeing the contractor at this point. So they're still administering our project.
Well, I know it's not, you're not going to be able to answer the question to the guy, but I'm assuming that, again, the RV park is paying for its own way here. I mean, we're not going into other funds. It's just depleting a little bit what we would have available to go into reserve funds. But it's still
yeah.
paying for itself.
Basically. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Anyone want to make motion? Any further discussion first? Anybody want to make a motion?
You guys want me to make a motion? Okay.
Yeah.
These long readings. Okay, recommended motion one, motion to approve the time extension and new completion date of December 7th, 2022 for the RV park project without applying liquidated damages to McLean Excavation and authorize the port manager to sign the document. Recommended motion two. Oh, you want to
let's
vote on each one?
Yes, please.
Okay, that's fine. Anybody want to second that first motion?
I'll second.
Thank you.
Okay. Motion and second. Danielle.
Larry.
Yes.
Ken.
Yes.
Sharon.
Yes.
Joe.
Yeah.
Richard.
Yeah.
Recommended motion two. Motion to approve change order number one to install new electrical conduit from the Kite Field Basin 2 to the RV Park as directed by Coos Curry Electric for $28,972.56. Authorize the port manager to sign the document.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Further discussion? Hearing none. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yeah.
Recommended motion three, motion to approve McLean and excavation progress payment number one for $87,517.76 for the purchased and received materials for the RV park project.
Second. Okay, motion and second. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Okay, that brings us to action item two or B, crab dock on the river jetty. As you recall, in our last meeting, we discussed this briefly and discovered that the Corps of Engineers actually owns that jetty and that we can find no documentation about ever having a permit to look to that jetty. So the Corps has given us two options here. One is to fill out one of the form for an application to hook to the jetty, and the other one is an application to remove the thing, which that one, I don't understand that one, but that's okay. This is the government and the Army, so undoubtedly there's forms. So did you want to comment on that at all?
You pretty much summed it up. Do you have any questions? There's another document. It's 415 pages worth. If the commissioners want that, we can post it on the website and look at it. I just didn't want to make 415 copies of it.
All that is the paperwork that revolved around building the jetty, correct?
Yeah. I mean, it's a congressional report.
What you gave us, I thought, was pretty fascinating. I was very interested in a lot of that stuff. And a lot of history of reports there about, you know, how it began and what happened.
Yeah.
So our options here look like we can go two ways. We can complete the necessary engineer form to keep the grab dock at current location, or we can complete the other necessary form to remove the grab dock. So those are motions one and two. So discussion.
Well, after hearing a lot of outcry from numerous citizens in the area, I would like to see us continue to keep it there and do those documents to keep it.
I would concur. I mean, we had an outcry from the public last time. Quite a few people here said they like it. And personally, I have a boat. I drive by at least twice a month, sometimes four or five times a month. And I don't find it to be a navigational issue. I haven't seen any documentation where it is a navigational issue. And the Corps of Engineers doesn't have a problem with it being there. So I would like to see it stay for the public's use.
Okay. Anybody else?
I agree.
All right. Sounds like we got a motion right now.
I'll make a motion to. Let me sure you got the right one.
Yeah, motion one.
Motion approved completing necessary U.S. Army Corps of Engineers form to keep the crab dock at its current location and authorize the port manager to sign the necessary form application.
I second it. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
Nope.
Hearing none, Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Probably won't know what that's going to be for months, I guess.
Yeah, we'll fill out the form. It just said it takes several months to hear back. I don't foresee any problems with the Corps of Engineers keeping it there since it's been there. So I'll let you know if something does come up. Well, I'll let you guys know once it's completed up as well. So
thank you, Gary. Thank you for looking into it all, too.
Yeah. All right, that brings us to action item C, the SDAO insurance claim.
All right, so this insurance claim is the, we have a wooden dock pile over on Basin 2, O Dock, Finger 22. we turn this claim in, since we do have insurance on our docks, we turn it in to see if our insurance would cover repairs. And the insurance adjuster wanted quotes from us, so we got quotes from three different companies. And they immediately accepted the low quote and sent us a check for $31,000. So,
for how much?
$31,000. It's the quote, the low quote was $51,000 to pull the wood pile and put in a new steel pile. So basically, they accepted the claim to repair that pile. We would have to pay the deductible, which is $5,000 on our insurance claims. So basically, I'm asking the board, do you want to pursue and complete this repair? If we want to do that, we need to get a contract written with Billiter Marine to do the work, and also probably order the steel pile as soon as possible. So the steel prices are still in flux with the economy, and it'd be good to get the contract written now, because this work won't happen until in water work period, which is going to be sometime between October and March, depending on their schedule. So it'd be good to have them have their price locked in and also have the pile on hand, so that price won't escalate, go up at the, you know, later on in the year. So anyways, that's what we're looking for, is the board approval to move forward with this project.
So make sure I'm clear on this. We're replacing one pile.
Yep.
For $51,000.
Yeah.
Should probably wait until you replace the ones that need replaced, and because there's quite a few that need replaced, and there's some that need to be put back where they never will return. So there's a pile of missing by my boat that's never been returned, and there's a couple of them that are junk. So, and we're going to pay for this $150,000, or is it insurance company?
$50,000.
Oh, 50. I thought it said 150.
Well, there's two.
142.3.
Well, the next closest bid was 140,000, and the next closest one after that was 175,000 for one pile.
So I have a question. Were these slated to be replaced in the FEMA upgrades?
No. No. This pile, this one pile broke. And that's all we're fixing. We're not fixing any other piles.
How old are the, in this one photo right here, there's three. One of them is the broken. There's two that look to be the same age. So what would it cost to, if they're not under the FEMA contracts to, in the upgrading of the basins, what would it cost to replace those wooden, the other two that I can see, and any others that are going to cost? I mean, most of this cost is in their getting here, setting up the equipment. So what would it cost to?
Roughly $10,000 a pile.
That's buying a pile, then you got time and material. Pulling those piles and then put them back in, so.
And they're all gonna be steel. The new ones will be steel.
But that's going to take a new contract.
So right now the insurance will pay for the broken pile. That's $51,000. So if you want to do anything extra, we're paying for it.
Right now would be the cheapest way we can possibly replace those.
Yeah. Well, if that's what we want to do now.
What's the life expectancy of these other wooden posts?
Not long. I mean,
5 years, 1 year, 10 years?
1 to 10. So there's a little bit more to this that we should talk about. So you'll see the other piling that's out, the other two pilings out there, they're dolphins. It's because there is the, is it Kathleen?
No, it's the Kathleen. Yes, that's Kathleen.
Yeah. Well, no, the Kathleen's tied to the other side of it, right?
Oh,
It's the pursuit. So it's a 60-foot boat that's been here, tied up to that spot for a very long time. It's on a roughly a 40-foot finger. On the other side of it, we had the Queen Karain, which is a 74-foot boat on a 40-foot finger with a dolphin on the end of it. If we plan on keeping those boats out there, yes, well, I would recommend changing those dolphins out. But a decision that we should talk about, that we should make at some point, is, are we going to continue letting 60, 70-foot boats be on the end of our finger out there? Because from my standpoint of view, I know it's all been there, but if we do anything new, we're all going to agree that we're going to put 70-foot boats back out there, or if we're just going to leave the one piling like the rest of the docks and just keep it to the standard length of boats. Does that make sense?
Well, it does, but that sounds to me like a much bigger planning discussion about how we're going to move boats and where we're going to put them. And now we're talking acceptable lengths and sizes and a lot of things that would have to go into that conversation.
It would be move the Pursuit, find an alternate spot for the Pursuit, and tell the Queen Karain that they can't come back because we won't have any slips for them.
Did this boat ever move?
No, Pursuit doesn't move.
No.
It was recently taken and hauled out recently,
a year ago.
So I know it's in seaworthy condition. It's not really an actively fishing boat, but it just kind of goes hand in hand with some of the things that we have over there, that we have bigger boats than what the docks were meant to have. So that's why I bring it up now, that if we're going to go down the road of replacing the other two dolphins out there, the pilings out there, that yes, we will in fact be, they're there to bring back two of, to keep two boats. But it's just, if we don't want to spend the other $20,000 to replace those other two, we can either A, keep them there and just keep the wood pilings in there as it is and replace the one, or replace those. It's just, is there a lot of boat for those docks? It's a lot of boat.
Well, I think we're getting kind of far afield of the question here, which is, do we approve this contract for one pile? And then we're assuming that the other work could be done and that the people are willing to do it, but we don't know that yet.
But we do have to be careful that we can only go 10% or so over what this contract number is, and tell me if I'm wrong, but because if we're going to end up doing 3, 4, 5, 6 pilings, 10 pilings, it would be worth getting new quotes and seeing if there's anybody else out there. Because it's hard to get somebody to come out for one piling. I mean, that's why we saw $140,000, $170,000 for this one piling. But, I know I kind of jumped ahead with this, and I didn't even talk to Gary about it, but it's just more things that are coming up that we could approve just this one piling, but it could and may limit any other piling work or how much more piling work we can do.
Why would it limit it?
Because we can only go over 10% of the contracted amount.
That's 20%.
20% over the contracted amount. So, and at $10,000, roughly $10,000 of piling, with a $50,000 project, we're going to run out of work to do. So, I just wanted to bring it up. I know I should have talked to him more about it, but it's something we should talk about, that if we're going to add these extra pilings, we just need to be careful of our number.
To me, it would make sense, if they've got the barges here and all that, that they wouldn't come in as the low bidder if we added something, asked them for a bid on additional pilings. They've got the advantage of everybody else that's going to bid on it, I would think, when they're already here. But it also makes no sense to me to have them come down and do one piling if we've got others that need to be replaced in a very, very short period of time. Typical piling lasts, what, 30, 40 years, unless they're damaged by the boats hitting them and that. And the steel pilings last how long?
I think 40, 50 years they should last.
Joe, what's your thought? You work with the commercial boats down there.
I know there's a few pilings that they replaced, but...
So,
replaced, Travis.
I think there's another wood one, back where your boat's at.
There's one of
I mean, entire east side of the basin too, the commercial side needs new pilings, but you know, realistically, four, I think, is what I would see. But we also have many dock, receiving docks that need fender pilings. It's the sky's the limit where we want to stop. And just remember, too, I mean, with all the other projects that we have going on, you know, one piling, two piling, three pilings, those are also going to include piling hoops. You know, every time we got to have them drive a piling and move, you know, that could be a day's extra worth of labor. The costs are just going to start, the more we have them do, the costs are going to start climbing quickly. So maybe we just get this one going to get the broken piling that we know we have money fixed with right now, and then we can see what we can add, you know, to the current contract that we have within maybe our 20% and see what we can do about maybe getting at least those other two dolphins. The one by Joe's boat, that's close to the bank if we ever thought it absolutely had to be replaced, but it's not in jeopardy of a dock moving or losing boat slips. And I think that one we could do, or that whole line you could probably do from the bank if you played it right and wouldn't have to go in the water. But I think if we focus on the three, that one slip, and try to keep the two boats that are there, would probably be best for keeping more slips than getting us back to operating where we were.
Well, there's another way it might be able to get around the 20% price increase to the quote that we got is the port purchases the piles itself, and then we supply the material to the contractor to install.
He's
paid for the labor. But I would check with that with the lawyer first to make sure we're not violating any contracting procurement rules. And if we have to go, if we want more done, we may have to just put this thing out to bid on that point of it too. So
this work can't happen until our in-water work period time.
Correct.
So go ahead with what the insurance claim is, but then it still gives us plenty of time to assess how many pilings we really necessarily need to replace, and then see how this company would have the opportunity to also bid on it, knowing they're going to have their equipment here, would be separate from the insurance. So other companies could also bid on what we need, too.
I would try and keep the same contractor and work within the scope and the limits that the procurements would allow us. And at that point, we move on, you know, and go to work with all the other projects that we have. And the piling problem in Basin 2 on the commercial side is a much bigger issue as a whole than to start piecemealing piles. It would probably not be in our best interest. I think we should focus on the one to fix it, and then possibly look at how much it's going to cost to get the two dolphin piles to keep the two boats that were there and move on. And if there's latitude in there to possibly get more pilings or something, we'll cross that bridge as we come. But you know, after talking about it now, I think we should just get this thing set, get the one pile moving, and then, like you said, go look into what our possibilities are of adding to the contract and what the limitations are. And then we can come back and talk about that and see where we want to go with it.
So we've got two separate questions in front of us then. One is to approve this contract to lock it in. This is costing us nothing, essentially. This is an insurance.
Or are you deductible? I'm out.
Wiped out. Okay. But then the other question is, how much is it going to cost to do more work? We have to ask the contractor that and find out what piling
is. We want to find out exactly what we want to do.
Well, I'm getting pretty nervous about making a lot of decisions without thinking about the bigger picture here. You know, like I said, if we're going to start talking about who's coming and going and how big a boat we're going to have in here and what it's going to take to satisfy that need, and that's a much bigger question to me than this. We're just fixing the problem here. But if we're looking at how we're going to utilize that space effectively, then that's a whole different question, I think. this has come up now on several occasions about the size of boats that we got in there that are too big for basically what we have available. So I think that we should, you know, if we're going to go down that road, I think we should go down a planning effort here to say, okay, let's look at this and figure out how we're going to make it work and what we're going to have and do it in a comprehensive manner. And I'm not suggesting we do that in a week or two. I mean, that's something else that's going to take some time to figure out. Because that, you know, we've got some new requirements now for boats that come here in terms of their age and inspections and those kind of things. And if we're going to get into a situation where we're going to have a size limitation on boats, then we need to figure out what that's going to be and let people know. But, you know, if you want to bring the Warrior II here, you can't because it's too big, or whatever the case may be. That looks to me like a pretty fundamental thing we better figure out as we're going forward.
So the people that have had their boats here...
No, I'm not. I'm sorry I used a name. I'm just saying that if we're going to do this, we need to sit down and look.
Future boats.
Well, that may not be future boats. It may be to the point where we can't keep some of these boats here. I don't know that, but that's...
Okay.
Going to be up to the port to figure that out.
My question, this was turned into insurance and they accepted the claim. So did a boat break that and damage it? Do we know what boat did it?
I can't prove who or
looks pretty eight.
What happened.
So then why can we not turn the other pilings into insurance also and have them?
Because they're not broken.
One is worn out. The other one was never replaced. There's one by my brother. Never been replaced. Those are the only two I know of. Travis probably knows whatever else they do.
After looking at it, we should get this one going and see what it costs to fix the other two and start there. That's probably best case scenario for what we're looking at doing and probably the funds that we have to do it.
So do you want that second piece as part of the motion?
I would just go with the current recommended motion. And just on the back side of me and Gary, we'll just look and see what, we don't have to have a motion to see what it's going to cost for the other two pilings to be fixed out there, but we can gather up some information and then bring it back to you guys later.
This motion is just given the approval to move forward to get a contract with Builder Marine. And when we bring that contract back to you guys, we can talk more about the extra work that we're proposing.
All right. Okay. Any further on that?
I'd like to make a motion. Motion to approve repairing the broken wood piling in Basin B at ODOC Finger 22 and authorize port manager to prepare a draft public improvement contract with Builder Marine to perform the work for board approval.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a motion in a second. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Okay, that brings us to information items, commission staff communications and relations. So if you recall the last meeting, you allowed me to get a hold of SBAO to talk about helping us discuss roles and relations and communications. I did get a hold of them. George Dunkel no longer is working, he's retired, but he works on special contract with SBAO on some things like training. I was shuttled off to Spencer Rockwell, who is their attorney, and attorney for them, and explained to him what we were talking about doing and having a discussion here about this, and he said, well, one, you have to do that in an open meeting. Two, we don't come help you do that, that's up to you. And I kind of queried him on that. He said, listen, if we had to go to every special district in order to try and help them, we would never have time. So He said, if you have legal questions, then you can get a hold of us, but otherwise you're on your own. So that's where the discussion went. So let's talk about communication and relations with staff. And I think we should be very clear on our role here. We are about policy and direction and supervising the manager, period. The rest of operations, and that's not up to us. There are some concerns that I have about this. Well, let's speak about the waste treatment plant, because that seems to be the article that has got us here. You know, I don't know what kind of communication we require. I get calls about this a lot, and there is interest about this waste treatment plant that is pretty extensive. There are a lot of folks watching it because we are, believe it or not, on the cutting edge of where an awful lot of people are going to have to be, and that's well known in Oregon. So I hear from the West Coast Seafood Processors Association director pretty frequently asking us, well, how are you guys coming on this? Because this is of huge interest to everybody on the West Coast, because they're, you know, people that are in our shoes are going to have to do something, and they all know it's coming. We just got an inquiry. We, meaning Gary and I, got an inquiry the other day from a person who is looking for funding for us. Available funding from the U.S. Department of Agriculture and different people to help pay the match. No promises, no guarantees, but they just said there is opportunity out there to do this, and you guys are well placed to be eligible for that. So the other thing that we have heard about a lot on this project is that we literally threaded the needle at 60 miles an hour by getting the federal funding. So that's probably not going to happen again. It was a one-off kind of deal, but the stars all lined up, and so we've got $3.5 million. So my point is this is a big issue, not just locally here, but on a bigger scale than that. The other thing that is a concern is that we need to have a single point of contact from this port to agencies. So if we're dealing with an agency, that point of contact needs to be exclusively the manager. That doesn't preclude anybody in the public from calling them up and asking them a question, but if you identify yourself as a port commissioner, that changes the conversation, period. Because they're now reacting to, well, this is the board now that's talking to me. And you can't separate that out by saying, well, I'm not really speaking for the board, but I am on the board. That doesn't work. So we need to make sure that we aren't circumventing the management role as our spokesperson to federal and state regulatory agencies, because none of us want to be in that box, and frankly, we aren't qualified to do it. So those are issues that I know have come up here about this. And I want to make sure we all clearly understand that, you know, when we're out there rumbling around as commissioners, we need to be very careful about how we do that and how we portray the question that we may ask and the role that we're assuming when we do that. Like I said, we are all entitled to call anybody we want to call and talk to as a private citizen. But identifying yourself as a port commissioner, not a good plan, unless you have the authorization of the board to do that, which is why I asked you last time before I got a hold of SDAO to make sure that this was an official board action. So let's talk.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Clarify what fish waste, storm drainage, and other waste are in relation to this waste treatment plant.
I know what fish waste is, byproduct of the fish processing effort, storm drainage, it's runoff. I don't know what the other waste is.
It keeps being referred to other waste, so I would like to know what other wastes are as defined by the port, because we've got into an issue with septic tanks now in the RV park, which have been dismissed. They're not going to be here. But that was a policy decision, in my opinion, that should never have gone to Jack for being included in drawings at a very large cost to us. It should have been discussed. It affects going to other agencies. So I would like some clarification on that. Policy or operations?
Well, I can't answer your question about what other waste is. I don't think it's ever been intended. Well, can you answer that question directly? What the discussion about other waste was?
The only thing I can say now, the board made a clear motion to just have crab or fish and shrimp waste. So I think going back in further in time, it's meaningless at this point.
Well, I think we're conflating a couple of things
right.
that have entered into this, and so let's talk about them. So when this discussion first came up about we're going to treat waste here, I think both Gary and Jack said, okay, let's talk about that. What does that mean? And let's look at what exactly that could entail. So under the heading of due diligence, in my view, there was a discussion about waste here. And if you look at the realities for Harbor, Oregon, unincorporated town of Harbor, Oregon, this town is in pretty tough shape. There's no way to expand without having to put more sewage across the river into the Brookings sewer plant. We've heard from the water people that says we aren't going to be able to supply more water. So in the scope of economic development, which is one of our charges, I don't think it was inappropriate to say, well, what about having a place to treat sewage here? But if you think about putting us in a sewer plant in, you're going to need two things. You're going to need public land, and you're going to need it located in a place that it's easy to get the material to. Okay, which in most cases means in a low spot. Okay, the only place around that I know of that is in a low spot and it has public land is right here. So the idea of examining that, I think, was something that wasn't inappropriate at the moment, but it was pretty clear from the beginning that we weren't going to do that. That's well beyond what we wanted to get into. So that went away. And we've made it clear since then that this plant is designed to treat the effluent from the fish processing plant to the point that it can be discharged into A, the river, or B, the ocean, whichever that comes out to be. So we're designing a plant to meet the environmental requirements, the permit requirements. That's what it's for. So the septic tanks. So what I think you're seeing there in discussion with Jack is I'm looking at all the possibilities. We need to see, you know, put it all out there. We aren't even close to a design finalization on that yet. So we've already said that we're not interested in a septic tank. We're going to put it in the sewer. Jack has some reason for having a septic tank in there. I don't know what it is, but I'm pretty sure it's never going to see the light of day in terms of the final product. I mean, that was our intent from the beginning, was to not do that. So if that septic tank's in there as part of due diligence, then on his part, fine.
So, Richard, those are probably preliminary drawings, and so maybe he just included everything to be in the preliminary, whether it was going to be used or not, it was just added.
Well, that's, like I'm saying, I think Jack is doing, like engineers do, he's doing what I call due diligence. Let's put it all out there and consider we are not anywhere close to a final product. But in order to do the FEMA stuff, we at least have to have a concept down as to what this thing might look like, how many spaces it may have, and that's what I believe those drawings basically are, is a conceptual depiction of what we think we're going to want to do.
One thing about it, we've learned that we just need to be more diligent and spending more time looking at things better, and if not understanding them, then make an appointment and go and discuss it.
I think we need to be careful, though, to not get ahead of this. We've gotten, we keep going way out ahead of this and already assuming things that aren't intended, you know. So we're just now, with the waste treatment plan, we're just now getting the design. We're going to now find out what this is going to look like and how big it's going to be and all that kind of stuff. So that's the point at which we should start the discussion from this point forward. We've gotten... I mean, I'll tell you that this has been an accelerated process, primarily because of the funding issue. You know, all that stuff in our strategic business plan all looks good, but it's all dependent on somebody coming along with a checkbook and saying, yeah, well, here, you can pay for this. The thing with the Fazio, like I said, you line that all up and think of all the parts and pieces that had to be in place to make that work. It's just a one-off opportunity, and it happened pretty quick. So here we go. Now we've got money. Now we're going to go forward with this process. So
I agree. Personally, I trust Gary and Travis to make those decisions and do the research, and that's their job. And they bring it to us here. We review it. We discuss it, and we go from there. Those plans were conceptual, and they're way down the road. They're not working plans. They're not plans that we get a permit on. So if I have a problem, I've emailed and texted Danielle. I go into Gary. I've chatted with Travis, and that's where I get my information, and I trust them. I think they're doing a great job.
Well, I don't think we'd be sitting here contemplating $10 million worth of projects over the next 2 or 3 years. Without an awful lot of work by staff.
Yeah.
A lot of it's dull, boring minutia, I wouldn't even care to try and fill out a permit for a discharge permit around this place. I mean, that's horrific kind of stuff. So, but it is a matter of trust. And, you know, we have to place our trust in the manager or not.
Mm-hmm.
And if there are issues with that, then we need to discuss them. Get them out there. And now's the time.
Well, what about their side?
Well, I think they're going to let us talk right now.
Well, it says and staff.
Yeah. But I'd like to hear from us first.
Does anybody else have anything to say? Richard's been very vocal about all this.
I stay with my piece. I think they do a great job. I trust them, and they do their due diligence. And is anybody perfect? No. Some, we're going to make some mistakes. We all do. But they continue to bring information to us, and then it's our responsibility to review that information. Got questions, go to them, and move forward. It's pretty simple.
I can believe you can do that.
Well, I do. So I want to say thanks, guys. You do a great job. And Lee.
I don't think anyone said they don't do a good job.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to know why Jack's doing it. Why not go into pack choice, seeing what exactly they need? Whenever he got five plants, he's got four of them, you know. I just don't.
I think in his letter, he said he was going to be meeting with the Pacific Seafood.
Jack's doing it.
And that he was going to be reaching out to other companies that actually build these facilities.
Well, I think...
I mean, it was very well explained in the letter. I was very happy to see that.
My interpretation of what Jack told us is, I'm going for the state of the art. Whatever it is out there that is effective, that's what I'm going for. And so to compare what we're going to do here to other plants would take an awful lot of interpretation. You know, what year were the other plants built? What standard were they treating to? What was the technology at the time? What have they had to do since to change things? I mean, that's all going into, I'm sure, going into Jack's.
And where they discharge.
Interpretation up there. So, I, you know, in this case, we hired an engineer. I wanted to do the job, and I think he is. If he's not doing his job, then we'll have to tell him that. But I'm certainly not going to come in and say, well, I'm a better engineer than you are, Jack, because I don't know the first thing about this. So, again, this goes back to selecting the right people and letting them do their work. Maybe.
I have no other question, Gil.
Because ultimately, anything done comes back to us, in front of us. We can vet it out as much as we need to before we make a decision. So nothing's going to happen until we make a decision. Simple.
Yeah.
Oh, pretty simple. Ask, come in front of us, set it here. What do you guys think? And we'll thrash it out and go from there. And we're going to be the flagship. Whatever happens here, like you said, needs to be the best, going to be the best. We're going to have people from California, Oregon, and Washington coming here to see what we've done. And it should be the best.
Well, I'm not sure California will ever make it, to be honest.
They should.
I think their regulatory scheme is so bad they're never going to make it. Although, you know, this
Crescent City is right there.
Eureka is building a fish farm out by Samoa. And they're going to be discharging into the ocean, the waste. It's going to be an on-land aquaculture site, big. So they're going to be looking at something like this in order to discharge.
Don't it. Don't look over here.
All right, Gary, do you have anything to say?
I just remind the commissioners, my door is always open. You can email me questions. Come and see me anytime you want. Even the public, if the public can send me emails, I respond to a lot of people that ask me questions about things. My door is open to the public. Sometimes I'm not available. You can do a meeting request, and we'll get back with you. But it's not like I'm hiding in the office. I'm there available. If you guys have questions, like Larry's saying, my motions are recommendations. If you don't understand a motion, well, ask me to explain it or change it, or don't approve it in the meeting, then tell me what you want. So I just you don't have to believe everything I'm saying either. So I mean, ask me questions if you don't understand what I'm writing or what I'm saying. So
well, I always ask, you know, I always text you or email you and ask when you're available, because I know that sometimes you're doing conference calls or you have, you know, meetings with certain people, and you know, we have to take a little consideration your way as well.
Yep. And just so you know, the state is finally opening up their offices. So later this month, they're having their first OPPA meeting in person, which I'll be going to in Salem. Just so on 26th, I'll be not here. I'll be up there. So.
OPPA?
Oregon Public Ports Association.
Sometimes they have it even further than Salem.
Well, sometimes in Portland. Hopefully they stay away from Portland, but Salem's a little safer.
Okay. Anything else?
So somebody like this or something? Or, did we all do something wrong, Richard? Did you run all this light?
I will tell you that the poop hit the fan. The newspaper article got, I'd like to tell you, there is a lot of people that are watching this. So obviously, DeFazio's office responded and said, what's going on down there? There were several people, SDAO, and different folks said,
what are you guys doing? I thought this was all underway, and now all of a sudden it sounds like it's not, and what's going on? So it took some time to explain to them, no, we're on board. And that last meeting we had was a strong signal from us that, yes, we're underway with this plan, and it's going forward. And there's no vacillation. We're not going to waffle on this. It's happening. And that was a fundamental thing that we had to get accomplished at that meeting, is to make sure they clearly understood that. So
was there or is there possibility them pulling that money or not getting that money?
If we didn't support it, yeah.
As Richard called me and told me that if we didn't accept it, we would never see another dollar from the government here again.
Well, that may be an overdramatic statement, but nonetheless, I think that would not help us any.
Well, it probably wouldn't, but I kind of felt threatened a little bit by that. It was before our meeting.
So why does the port want to run this thing and own it? Tell me that. I've been here 44 years, and I've seen the shrimp industry collapse totally. So what are you going to do when it collapses this year? You got this. I'm just saying, we got this so-called wastewater treatment plant that we own. Tell me about it.
Well,
can you?
We've discussed this many times. So I can't tell you what's going to happen next year. I can't tell you whether we're going to be catching crab next year or shrimp or whether we're going to be doing market squid or what we're going to be doing here.
You're not going to be doing market squid. I've been here a long time.
But I do know this. I do know this. If we are not positioned to take advantage of what may come along, then this port's going to die.
And then I get someone that shows me a diagram of a septic system on an RV park. You know, you wonder why people think what's going on behind the doors.
Well,
and that was there because it's not there no more. It's all been deleted from the minutes. Or whatever it was on that I'd seen on the goddamn thing. And don't tell me it wasn't there. It was there.
What? The septic tanks?
Yeah.
We purposely took them off, and we told you guys we were taking them off.
Well, why was it put there in the first place?
Exactly like we just discussed, is that there is options. You know, you guys got to remember, me and Gary.
There's a special district right there that's pumping sewer. There's options.
Exactly. There's options. And our job is to lay out those options so you guys can see them, see what they are. And, you know, every option that we bring, you know, that we try and give you guys, we're not perfect. We don't get it all right. There's things that get added on things that were a bad idea. I mean, I'm guilty of throwing out bad ideas before, but the only way you're going to know a good idea is to go through the bad ideas, the ideas that don't work. And when it gets put on paper, I mean, and it gets shown to you guys, is all we can do is say, if there's adjustments that have to be made, we'll make the corrections, and we'll do the best we can, you know, for the RV park part of it. You know, that's a big moving part. That the septic tank idea was basically, at first, was to maybe get us around having a dump station for our 140 sites that we're going to have with no dump station close to us except for up at Harris Beach State Park. But Gary and I going through it, and after looking at what we can and talking to Harbor Sanitary, it wasn't a viable idea. So that's why it's out. We will be going to the sewer system 100% and not an RV park expansion.
Okay.
With the wastewater treatment plant, the reason the port has to run it, because that's the rules that have been given to us by the funding agency from DeFazio's office.
And that should be said, Travis. Period.
I've said that like four times.
Well, I didn't
in public
fucking hear it, so let me go. Excuse my language.
Joe, your phone.
It just comes down to that if there's this big a question, if we feel this is strong about something that's getting put in there, but you have to ask questions about it. Like, Gary and I, under no circumstances And like Terry said, you can believe it or not, we're not trying to pull anything. We're not trying to hide anything. We're not trying to do anything that's outside the scope of what we're trying to tell you. That's not who we are. We are not doing that. Now, if we made a clerical error or if we didn't add something, just say it. We can talk about it, and we can decide if, yes, we missed it or if, yes, we need to add something else in there.
Travis, everybody noticed it was an error, and it was removed, and it was in our last meeting.
Well,
I
keep going back to the fact, you know, we're getting way ahead of ourselves.
Well, that's because everyone comes to me or anybody else and gets ahead of themselves too. Shit should be explained way before talk.
Anyway, when we're going to do something, we get to see it. We get to sign it and say, yes, this is what we're going to do. But I have no grief with people doing like I said. Hey, here's some potentials. Here's some possibilities. You want to have a dump station, maybe you need to have this in there. But we're not at the point where we're doing anything. But, you know, I can't help it if people sit out here and decide they want to try and find a way to blow something up and say, hey, look, you know what they're doing? Look at this. Look at this. You want to look at it, you look at the one I signed. The contract we signed, that's what we're going to do. But it's pretty sporty to run around and say, oh, you know, these guys are doing this and these guys are doing that and they're talking about this. Well, if we can't have open discussion about some of this stuff, we're screwed. I mean, then we will be operating in a vacuum.
But it is good to look at everything, because before you have to find that final one, at least you've gone through it and see if there's anything in there that, you know, you
I would much rather have somebody like our engineer bring me 20 ideas instead of one. Right. Say, this, you're locked in on this one. That's it.
Here's all your options.
Well,
and let me explain all your options to you, and then that's what we do. And that plan was conceptual. Obviously, it was a conceptual plan. We were not going to get permits to do the work that Ron those plans.
Well,
I know we're spending too much time on that.
I don't know how to get around this kind of confusion without saying, look, wait till you see what we're going to actually do. Gary, you've been raising your hand. You want to say something?
Yeah, the deal on the newspaper, I would like to clear that up. I sat in a meeting here, and this place was full, and you guys were discussing the plant and stuff like that. And they said, well, we never hear nothing and stuff like that. And they were talking about the newspaper and not, you know, putting anything in it. So I went home, and I sent an email to the editor of the newspaper up here, and I said, what is wrong with you guys? You're not covering the meetings. The people in the neighborhood or the area want to know what's going on. Why don't you cover the port meetings and stuff like that? I sent that in. I got an answer back from them. They said, next week we're coming out with an article on the port and this station that you guys are building. And so the thing didn't show up in the newspaper, so Sharon and I went up there because we went to eat. And we went in there and I talked to him, and it says, where's this article that you guys are supposed to put on? And they said, the editor up in Coos Bay is writing an article on it. And from the only thing, no, we didn't say a damn thing. I don't think anybody here said anything to the paper. They took the meeting minutes and listened to it, and they wrote that article. That article was very misleading. And it's nothing that you guys do or anybody on the board or myself or anything did anything wrong. It's the way they interpreted it, the meeting. I mean, that's how this whole thing got started, and I understand Richard got mad because he called Sharon, and we felt like we were being accused of saying something to the paper. We didn't say crap. Well, so I want to get that squared away right away because, I don't know,
I sat here and I listened to you guys. This whole thing started out, oh, we're going to build a poop plant. Okay. Then it went, no, we're going to do this. And it has gradually evolved to where you guys are right now. Okay. And the thing is getting the public educated, because that young man right there, he hears more crap. They come running to him, and Joe takes everything too damn serious. And it's really too bad, because Joe's a very thoughtful person. But there's a few guys that I know around, I don't want to say them, that were in this meeting today that,
well, there's,
I'm sorry, I get, I'm
that's
mad.
That's fine. That's, unfortunately, that's how this works.
Yeah.
And so we represent several thousand people throughout this pork district. We don't hear from them.
Yeah, you gotta get your back thick. I mean, you're walking around with a damn target on your back, because we go into damn Fred Meyer's and Sharon's got 15 people standing in line wanting to jaw at her about something.
But the reason,
and you guys are probably getting the same thing.
The reason that we don't hear from all the people is because they're happy. But you guys are doing a great job. I'm not going to call you up and tell you you're doing a good job. You're doing what we pay you to do. So you're going to always have a faction out there. I don't care what you do, they're not going to like it. And they're going to be vocal about it. And I mean, obviously, they were concerned enough about it to run for office and that sort of thing, and that's fine. But, you know, I just don't live with that. It's nothing I can do to fix it.
Well, you guys are way past the poopy part of this damn thing. I'm sorry.
Well, we went past the poopy part of this during the election, if you remember.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Anyway, hopefully at the board, we're all going to be on the same page and jail well.
Thank you, Rich, for doing this, bringing it up, bringing it to light, bringing it to you. Well, I don't like the feeling that I've had, to be honest with you, the last couple, 3, 4, 5 months. It just hasn't felt good. It hasn't felt like we should feel and like we do feel. Mm-hmm. And so I want to at least talk about it and make sure that we're willing to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry Joe didn't stay and talk. I wish he had. And if he could have told us that kind of stuff, you know, we can help him with that. Nothing I can do. I can't get somebody off his back, but you can always have him call me. You know, if he doesn't like, doesn't want to talk to him, I'll talk to him.
So. Or need someone else's point of view. I mean, if I talk to Joe, Joe might see something a certain way, and you'll see it a different way.
Well,
different viewpoints.
You know, my favorite thing, and I've said this many times before, but it is appropriate for all of us in here, and that is that the game always looks easy from the cheap seats. Okay, so you can look at what we do and say, oh, those people, what on earth are they thinking?
But they're not here.
But they don't know what sort of exposure we've had to the issue. They don't know who we've talked to and what we've talked to them about and what we've discussed in here. And, you know, I'd love to have a newspaper here every single meeting. They ought to be here. Because, frankly, we're sitting here underneath the bushel basket. Nobody, well, we don't know what you guys are doing. Well, yeah, you don't, because you don't come to the meeting. But what else can we do?
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Well.
They just let life go on around here until it seems to affect, one little thing may affect them and it fills the whole room, you know.
And they show up one time.
Oh, yeah.
I think the only consistent person is this guy right here. Anybody else, they choose not to know. They choose not to know. It's not a lack of anything we're doing. It is they choose not to be engaged in no defense.
But that's, I'll tell you, my own personal view, United States of America, people in this country are among the laziest in the world. We'll sit up, turn on the TV, and take what they tell us for granted and not bother to find out about it ourselves. That's just pure lazy. And that's what happens here, is that, you know, folks are just lazy. They're not going to find out what's going on. They're not going to come in and ask the questions and listen to the meetings and say, what are you guys doing?
Well, the windmill situation is even getting the television's attention for Tuesday. So we'll probably get it here as well, because they did mention Brookings.
Okay.
anything further?
No.
Speak now or forever hold.
I'll let you know.
I want to thank the court for their demolish and dismantling and removing the, what, 40 boats in 6 years. Thank
yeah.
you.
That gypsy weed is gone.
I know, and you did a good job of cleaning that monkey mouth up.
I'd like to have that thing they brought in here, though.
After hearing how much it costs and the problems you have with them, I don't think you should do.
I'd just like to have it for an afternoon in the Fredmeyer Park. That right. guy with that big diesel truck that parks it halfway out the aisle, I'll just cut the back end off. Okay, we are adjourned.
Hey, thanks for letting me spot off.
Goodbye.
Now she'll let you talk.
Now I can go home and catch up with my wife.
Tell me again why that cell goes up against Kenneth Spalding again.